Welcome to PR After Hours, your weekly cocktail of news and interviews with leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. So pull up a chair in our virtual lounge. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will be right back after this.
Today, we have the pleasure of hosting Ashley Graham, the visionary founder of The Conscious Publicist. Ashley is at the forefront of advocating for purpose-driven businesses, championing the belief that such organizations have the intrinsic power to foster positive change in our world. With her profound commitment to storytelling, she and her team dedicate themselves to helping clients forge meaningful connections and relationships. Ashley places immense value on the people relations aspect of her work, seeing it as a critical pathway to nurturing a more conscious, sustainable future. Her expertise in developing strategies that align her clients' connections with their goals is not just her profession, but it is her passion. And she, as she envisions a world where conscious living isn't just an ideal, but the norm. You know, I am very conscious that we have a limited amount of time. So why don't I stop talking and we welcome Ashley Graham to the virtual lounge. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Alex. It is such a pleasure to be here with you today.
How long have we been pinging back and forth for months on this, right? It's all been my bad trying to get it scheduled. So I am delighted to meet you in, well, as close to in person as possible. I touched on that in the intro. The conscious publicist. I mean, how did this happen? Give us the germ or whatever, the genesis of this, would you?
Yes. So as far as the naming convention for the brand and the business, it really needed to breathe intentionality for me. Now, I am actually the founder of two different businesses. I closed out my previous, it was kind of my introduction to entrepreneurship, if you will. But as we grow and evolve as people, so do our businesses. And it was really time for me to kind of move and expand beyond that. So when I was ideating just the name for the business and how I wanted to serve and impact others, it really came down to this conscious awareness of what I wanted to do, not only as a business and how I wanted to represent the business as well as clients, but it needed to portray who I am as a person. I like to say that I am a self-development advocate and a guru. I was going to say junkie, but I was like, okay, let's find a better word for that. But I am always, you know, expanding my own level of conscious awareness around building, you know, more cohesive and stronger relationships with people, using storytelling as a way to bring conscious awareness around things that really matter, and just living and breathing the being and the essence of being the most conscious version of myself as possible.
You know, some people might tell you though, you're really limiting your client list by doing this, by doing this. I mean, has anybody ever told you that? Or have you ever been kind of, some people said maybe your high-minded and beautiful approach to business might be limiting?
No, I haven't heard that just yet. And again, well, we can dive into that a little bit further. You know, at the end of the day, an ideal client for me is, they don't have to maybe be as deep and introspective of a person as I am, or how I've ideated, you know, the messaging and the belief and the energy of the business. But who I've been able to attract with just this process and nurturing of storytelling and just this conscious awareness of using media to advocate for positive change is I really attract the heart-centered and the mission-driven types of people, or the organizations that really live with a purpose and to why they're in business in the first place.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, okay. So your work, it just beautifully intertwines thought leadership with PR, and you've created this powerful platform of influence this way. Can you share how you navigate this crossroads to amplify your clients' impact? And how do you see this interplay evolving with the changing dynamics of PR?
Yeah, I guess the first kind of response to that is just how I view the intersection of thought leadership and PR. I think that they intersect so beautifully in a way that you know, when you think about digital media or you think about other types of media platforms, bylined articles, podcasts, or other types of media, there is a subject matter expert that is the voice behind that media, whether it's the journalist itself, whether it's the podcast host, or just the creator. And they use the media as a way to bring other subject matter experts into the narrative and into the dialogue. And they are able to co-create an incredible conversation that at the end of the day is supposed to serve the audience and give them tangible things that they can take away from the piece of content. So I feel that a lot of modern day PR and modern day media relations is integrated with the very principles of thought leadership, because it's about narrative, it's about the voice, and it's about the conversation.
I'm obviously much older than you. So I've been doing this a little longer, and I'm only saying that just because I've seen PR really change. Oh, I mean, when I started, when dinosaurs walked the earth, I mean, I studied PR in graduate school, but then funny enough, my first couple of jobs were in journalism. I did it backwards, you know, how a lot of people do. But then when I finally got into a PR job, not only was just the way we shared information changed. I mean, I was, when I was a newspaper guy, I would get press releases mailed to me and I'd have to retype them. And then I just thought it was the cat's pajamas when I got faxes coming through. People don't even know what fax is anymore, do they? Anyway, but then email years later. But then like you just said, you have podcasts, you have all these channels, social media, all these wonderful channels. I always tell my clients, you know, you have the news media in your pocket. You have a supercomputer in your pocket you have a TV station. It's called YouTube. You have a radio station. It's called this. It's, you know, all the different things I named them all. And people just, wow. What I have seen, though, that has given some people, some of us old people like me, some pause, though, was there seems to be a real merging with marketing in the approach. And I used to kind of buck against that, but now I realize there's really no point in bucking against it. It's happening. So I wanted to ask you that just as a practitioner from where you sit, where is PR? Is PR still, in your opinion, its own thing, or is it really just become so integrated into other disciplines? What do you think?
Yeah, my perspective is unique, or it could be, you know, universal, but I feel that PR is basically the centralized like focus, and all these other forms of marketing are basically just other facets or other verticals that live underneath PR. And I actually was explaining this to a student yesterday because I was on a student-led podcast. It was such an incredible experience to be a part of that and to mentor in that way. But I kind of gave the same example that when you think about a chart, you have PR again as the centralized focus, and you have all these other facets that are categorized underneath it. And so when you think about PR, again, it represents public relations. And so it's anything that is public facing. Well, social media marketing, digital marketing, even SEO or all these other forms of marketing, it is all to serve or attract public attention, public recognition, and it's still embodies the same messaging that you would want to live out in the public space, which is kind of where PR lives and breathes. It's really kind of categorizing and honing in on what your main messaging is, your brand messaging, and how you want that to resonate and influence outwards. So I feel that PR is kind of the OG, and all these other forms of marketing kind of only support, again, PR, public relations, public recognition.
I love that. And I agree with you. I'm just running up against, I often have running up against, you know, 14 years running my own shop. And now I'm working in higher ed, just left my shop, closed it down. That's my big life change recently. And I think that there's still a definitional issue with PR in a lot of our clients. And whether your client is a client who's, you know, paying you every month, or you're, you know, it's the CEO or the president of the university, or I just did the thing. I did a thumbs up and it went up on our Zoom call. I love that. It's hilarious. But do you feel that your definition, though, when you talk to your typical C-suite types who've been around a little bit, Do they go for that? Do they agree with that, or do they push back a little?
I don't, again, I'm only can recall what I'm remembering right now, and I don't see any pushback. What I do find is there is this education piece, you know, in my discovery calls with new potential clients, where I do have to kind of educate that, you know, you have a number of practitioners or a number of PR agencies out there that do have their own specialty in what they focus on. Now, mine is very unique. Again, it's in more so this thought leadership environment, but it's using PR, using media relations to be the catalyst for getting the thought leadership recognition recognized in the right publications, the right media outlets. So there is a level of education that I feel I have to do, both as how I'm able to serve and support them in our piece of the puzzle, but then also bringing attention into identifying the differences between paid and earned media, right, or shared and owned media, because PR lives more so in that earned media landscape. And I always have to kind of guide and lead, you know, a client to understand that, because if I use those keywords, sometimes they're like, huh, what does that mean?
Right. That's good. That's kind of that. And of course there, you got right to the meat of it too. It's just, there is that education. There's going to be, I think it's just not natural for a lot of folks to understand it, because they're just used to, I'll buy an ad, that gets the word out. When you say earned media, they're like, well, I paid for it, so I earned it. No. That's not what that means. But hey, I don't want to go on about that, but I just want to get your thoughts on that, because I love to talk to thought leaders in our industry, which you are, about those things. But let's talk a little bit, if we could, about the power of purpose-driven narratives. You know, we've got this world saturated with all this really transient content, right? And the stories that resonate, though, are those that are imbued with, to your point, purpose and authenticity. So how do you help your clients craft these compelling narratives, and what impact have you observed these stories having on the businesses and their audiences?
Yeah, I'll walk you through kind of the first phase of what I like to call our methodology. I call it ideation to transformation. And so there's this ideation process that I start with a client to understand what their subject matter topics would be before we even start getting into media relations or pitching any types of materials for placement. And the ideation process is almost kind of two-part. I go through an interview process with the client to understand a little bit of their backstory, their history, what led them into starting their business, you know, all of the fun, juicy questions that you tend to see in interviews like that, because it really gets the client thinking, and it gets them thinking in a very intentional way to talk about their journey, because they know their journey better than anybody else will. But it's being interviewed or having that conversation transcribed from somebody who knows how to ask the right questions, I'm able to piece it together in a really beautiful way that is related specifically to their subject matter expertise. But there also is the part two of the ideation process and looking at news trends, news cycles, what is popular that you see in some of our target media outlets, and almost blending our topics to align with them. Because again, it's not always just reinventing the wheel every time. It's looking at what's worked, what didn't work, and finding a middle ground to where the client can really kind of shine in that middle section.
Is there, and I'm not asking if your client list or to name a particular client, but could you give some idea what sectors you're working with in general these days?
Yeah, I've worked with nonprofit clients. I've worked with company coaching agencies, more so in the model of they are an agency-based firm where they work with coaches, but the incredible model that they follow is they basically dedicate a coach to their clients who are businesses of 50 plus employees, and they basically assign a dedicated coach to the employees to kind of build company morale, employee satisfaction, employee engagement. And that we've seen a lot of success with that client. But I've also worked with executive coaches, I've worked with, you know, spiritual practitioners, mindset coaches. It's kind of been a little over the spectrum, but again, the narrative and the story and how we're doing our media relations process, that's kind of where the synchronicities have come from.
Yeah, I'm curious then, Ashley, how do the old guard type media, the old mainstream media type, you know, the newspapers, the TV, how are they reacting to your and I know you're successful. That's not exactly what I'm asking. How do they, can you, are there any anecdotes or at least some, just a general vibe you can give us on how, I'm just the crusty old dude on the news desk at the newspaper, or, you know, the producer of the morning show has been there forever, which is kind of rare these days for anybody to be anywhere forever. But is there, how do they react to the way you pitch and the type of people you pitch? Is it different, do you think, than the other PR people might recognize?
You know, it's really hard to understand their perspective and how I pitch or who I pitch. What I'm able to base that off of is just the types of responses or interests that I get and what I receive. Right. And I find that broadcast media tends to love my nonprofit clients because, again, the story, it's such good content to show what's going on in the community.
People driven,
how the nonprofit supports, you know, people in the area. So I've always found success with broadcasts with my nonprofit clients. And again, it's always kind of adapting and evolving. I think that's a really big skill set of a PR practitioner, is finding different forms of communication, sometimes getting out of the email, out of the inbox, calling the station, having a conversation. But that's where at the end of the day, I just thrive in the relationships and just having a conversation and telling them, hey, here's a story that we're working on. Let me know if you're interested. And if not, we can touch base on another future story.
That's cool. You know, it's funny you say that. I'm on the board of a hunger nonprofit here in Kansas City. I have been for 3 years. And we do food gleaning. Like, we bring a lot of fruits and vegetables that once the harvest is over, there's still plenty left. And we get those to our main food bank clients throughout the area. And when I came on board as a board member, I was kind of the board member selected to do PR and marketing, obviously, and work with them on that. I found something with their messaging that I thought was they were really concerned more with like how many truckloads of fruits and vegetables they delivered. It's a nice number, but I said, that's important to have as a secondary part of our pitch. Our pitch should be who gets that food and how does it change their life? Right?
Yep.
Because I'm telling this story not to act like I'm some genius. I'm not. It's just a thing. But I tell it for our listeners, who a lot of PR people on this show, is because, folks, you can get real hung up on like the by the numbers kind of things, which are fun for an infographic and you can use them to reinforce your pitch. But the pitch really has to be, and Ashley, you tell me if I'm wrong, it really has to be people focused, people centric. How does this organization affect our community, affect and change people's lives? And can you introduce me in the media to some of those folks?
Yes.
That's it, right? Yes. She's like, you nailed it, dude. I got nothing to add.
You know, this came to mind as you were reading my bio. You know, that's why I put an emphasis on the people relations part of what PR is. Again, PR, public relations, but to me, it's also people relations. Not only is it internal relationships of how you build strength between your client relations and also your team, if you have, you know, people that you're working with in a very intimate environment, but there has to be a people focus in the types of stories that you're putting out there. Because I think, again, it's human nature. We want human connection and we want to know that we are feeling supported and we are being supported in our communities. And so the story has to live that people relations perspective as well.
Yeah. And so your emphasis on the conscious living aspect, and the importance of meaningful relationships. You have to constantly, I imagine, make sure that they are aligning their business practices with their core values, because that example I just gave, in a way, it's just like, sometimes it's expedient to say, well, we delivered all these truckloads, and it's harder to go find somebody who will talk, you know, to the media about the effect, you know, but it's more worth it. So are there strategies that you've used that are most effective in building these lasting, authentic connections that you haven't already covered?
lasting connections with clients or media?
Clients on this thing, because do you find yourself, I guess, having to keep them on track a little bit sometimes? You know what I mean? Reminding them, okay, you know, they might come to you and say, actually, we want to go this direction. You're like, yeah, but you know, we're kind of pitching this direction and we're getting some purchase here, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I feel that, again, clients look to their advisors of who they're working with for feedback.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately having that confidence factor to be like, okay, yes, you can definitely take feedback and guidance or ideas from the client. And that's why I value creating kind of a free thinking, creative environment for how I work with clients, because it is very mutual. It's mutually exclusive, you know, but you can take ideas from the client, and if it works, then great, align, you can run with it. But if not, you can always take little bits and pieces of that idea. And so again, I'm sought out as an advisor to give feedback, but then also to give, you know, kind critique in the ways that, yes, this works with how we're already working our PR mix, or maybe we can put that to a different cycle later on in the year. I never think that any idea is a bad idea.
Right.
It just comes down to timing at the end of the day.
Beautiful, beautiful answer on that. Yeah. I'm wondering, I think that more and more people in our industry should look at the way you approach this, because not just because you're successful, but because I think it's fresh, and I think it's the right way to do it. I like your approach, and I admire it. What's next? Anything changing with the business? You got a are you branching out? Or are you just straight sailing? Or what's going on with the business that our listeners should know about?
Yeah, currently, and this is where the Conscious Publicist has been kind of evolving over the last year. You know, the business has always been retainer based. So working with clients on, you know, 6-month contracts to really manage and execute on their PR and media relations, you know, possibilities.
Right.
But one of the things that I'm really excited about is launching these VIP experiences to where it's almost creating this education environment to train thought leaders on how to nurture and manage and execute their own PR and media relations campaigns. I like to say that I am an educator and an advisor by nature. Education comes really easy to me because, again, it's just sharing wealth of knowledge. It's sharing insights. And these VIP experiences bring clients into a very intimate container with me to basically learn how to do pitch writing, how to build their media list, how to build relationships with their media client or media contacts, but in a way that creates longevity in that relationships. And it's not just reach out to them when you have a need or a desire to get a story placed. It's actually really creating a solid relationship with them. So that's one of the things that I'm really excited about, and to see how these VIP experiences kind of transform and resonate.
I love that idea. I think that's smart. That's very smart. I like your approach. I think it's great. And we're running up against the old clock here, but before we go, how do people learn more about the Conscious Publicist?
Yes, you can learn more about me at theconsciouspublicist.com, and my LinkedIn is always a great place to connect with me. So this is an open invitation to connect with me on LinkedIn. If there's ever any insights that you need, I'm more than happy to share. LinkedIn's a good platform for me.
It is. Ashley and I are connected, and she's good information and seriously generous with that too, which is wonderful. Ashley Graham's insights into the fusion of thought leadership and public relations, coupled with her commitment to storytelling and building authentic connections, offers us all invaluable lessons. So for anyone looking to make a meaningful mark in their industry, you should talk to Ashley Graham. Ashley, I just can't thank you enough. You joining us here, and listeners don't know this, but you gave up part of your Saturday to talk to me because of my silly scheduling issues right now. And you walk it like you talk it, generous, kind, and oh so smart about PR. Thanks again for joining us here on PR After Hours.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a joyful conversation.
Indeed. Welcome to a special announcement from PR After Hours, your go-to podcast for all things public relations and marketing. We are thrilled to share some exciting news. PR After Hours has been recognized as one of the best in the business. We've been ranked number 18 in the prestigious FeedSpot 70 Best PR Podcast list for 2024. That's right, we're among the 70 best PR podcasts worth listening to this year. But wait, there's more. We've also been named a top 15 PR podcast by Refonic. We're honored to be acknowledged by such respected platforms in the industry. And of course, we couldn't do it without you. A huge thank you to our amazing listeners and sponsors for your continuous support. Your engagement and feedback fuel our passion for delivering insightful, engaging content each episode. So, raise a glass here in the virtual lounge and join us in celebrating what we think is a pretty nice achievement. Stay tuned for more intriguing conversations, expert insights, and all the latest trends in public relations and marketing only on PR After Hours.
You know what that means? It's last call here at the Virtual Lounge. Be sure to visit prafterhours.com for links to what we discussed in this episode and more. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time for another round at PR After Hours with Alex Greenwood.